Hello and welcome to the ISCast. This is episode 29. I'm Wade Bojic and I'm joined here by David Ishida,
yo,
Melissa, Randall, hello. Lee Anderson. Hi. And it's the four of us. Sean is on sound producing this for us. We are here in our bunker, our studio space, and there's a band practicing upstairs if you hear any funky bass riffs. So thanks for joining us today. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're going to briefly touch on things we've been up to, specifically with Dawn Under Heaven, then jump into current events. There's a lot of great stuff with games and movies to talk about, and finish up with Mad Max, which is the film we saw this month. So yeah, a lot of good stuff. Yeah. Kicking it off, we are going to be, putting the show on hold after we finish the next episode.
Yep, next episode. So we're on 29 now. Next episode will be episode 30.
Yep.
And we've decided doing some change-ups here. So we decided that we're going to put the podcast on hold for a while as we redevelop things.
Mm-hmm. And yep. Then, yeah, and I guess
working on
it
some
might
fun,
come back.
Fun company.
Yep, yep. So yeah, you'll stuff. See if you look for updates from us as some changes come in the coming months, and you can look for new things coming the way.
Yes. So mostly we've been working on Dawn Under Heaven and finishing up VO for our main actors. We still have a little bit more VO to do with just random, like, non-character people, but we just
random people on the
yeah,
street.
Yeah, exactly. Just hey, say this guy. Line. So Katie, who played our Pelican pilot, she came in and did some VO work for us. And so David and I did that last week.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was. So here's what happened. Just to tell you guys, Lee and Melissa, because you weren't here for it. We were going to use Cinequipped. David was feeling under the weather.
Sick, which you may still be able to hear a little bit.
Yes. So we were going to use this space. We came here an hour before Katie was going to show up. We were going to get set up. And the band was playing upstairs, much louder than they were today. Just grooving out funk. And we're like,
yeah,
all right.
Full band.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we loaded up into David's car, which I dubbed the Is Force One. And we
drove down the block. And
well, we had to because we went in the parking lot and we could still hear the fucking band play. And we're like, all right, we're going down the street. We parked on the street and it
was
raining.
Is Katie in the car too?
Yeah.
Okay. All
so,
three of us.
So we're in the car, but it's raining too. So the, like, rain is like hitting the, like, God. But we got to work eventually. I haven't listened to it too much, but you said it sounded good.
I think it sounded good. Yeah. And that's a pro tip for them that cars make, in a pinch, really great recording booths because they are pretty well insulated from sound.
So I was happy with it. I think Katie, she seemed to have a good time with it.
I think it was her first time doing any kind of ADR voiceover work. So yeah. Starting out with the best.
I think she did great.
Did you guys have was this like completely new audio? Like no, like you didn't have a screen with her matching her.
Yeah,
her
this
own
is
voice.
All for. Yeah, this is all for times when like she's okay. Off camera and she's on the intercom
right,
or on the comms.
That'd have been a little harder.
Yeah, yeah. So I shouldn't say this is not true ADR.
Yeah.
No,
or anything. Just voiceover.
Yeah. But that, I guess, is, I mean, I'm sure there's a couple more things we want to shoot for little inserts here and there, but we're still trucking along, slowly but surely.
Wade always wants to add things.
Well, yeah. Got little
turning
bits here
George
and there to make it better.
Lucas. That's what it's George
true.
Lucas said.
No, we're much better.
We'll right before back. Inserting Jar Jar Binks, is that what that was?
But, but I think that adding things is a group effort, too. When we're working on the teaser, Lee's like, oh, yeah, can we add this? We're like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff got added then.
I need my lawyer.
And then aside from that, we got a live stream coming up. Which...
Yeah. So something we'd been talking about for a while, and now we have slated, is coming up in 2 weeks now on June 20th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time. We are doing a live stream from here at the bunker, potentially. I don't know why I wouldn't be here.
Pretty sure it's here.
Unless
yeah.
There's a band playing.
Yeah, that's here. Yeah.
Then we'll do it in the car.
And we're going to do a live stream. You're going to be able to see all of us. You should all know our faces now after all the behind the scenes we've posted.
So the idea is the stream is going to be for Dawn Under Heaven. We're going to be playing Halo Reach, the game that...
Inspired.
And
is the setting
it's the events, yeah, that is around the movie.
But also, when we started making the armor for the project, that was the game that was going to come out. So all the files and armor we were building at the time was from Reach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it was
all
like
the
integral
and
game.
ODST.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to think that we're almost two more Halo games now beyond that. I guess core games.
Well, it's because you guys have been working on this forever.
Yeah. So you're going to get to see... A couple of them will probably play the game, but I know Melissa will probably be playing the event because she hasn't played Halo Reach.
I have never played Beyond Halo 2, just because I didn't own an Xbox 360. So
we're going to do...
It will be my inaugural Reach game.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No. Four. If you want me to make zero progress, that is the settings we should play on.
Yeah. And I thought it'd be fun to do split screen, but I guess that would like split up the action off of the stream. So we'd want it to be one, you know, one first person view, we'll not have to, multiple.
We'll do some
hot swapping and some, you know.
Yeah.
Right. What difficulty setting should we play on?
I think we should play on hard. Because it's supposed to be like in the background and like, I mean, not super hard, but just like going through the game. We don't want to like make it so hard that we don't get anywhere through the game.
Right. Well, some of us could make it through. No, I think a few of us.
We can always change it on the fly.
Legendary would be tricky. I think heroic is pretty good. We'll see how you do.
And can I just say also, I don't think the elites have ever been as hard as they were in the original Halo. That was the hard on Legendary. Those were the hardest elites to beat.
They were hard.
I was trying to do that.
They jump out of the way. Like they actually try to do
reach
it.
Too.
They don't do it the same way.
The mission when you're waiting for the Warthog to go into the tunnels. I forgot what mission that was. But that like little building that there's like waves of them that come.
Oh yeah,
I got stuck on that on the anniversary edition because I was trying to do it in Legendary. And I stopped playing the game because I couldn't get past it.
I got stuck in the exact same place and stopped playing.
Just because there's not a lot of good cover and
they
flank you and like
it was. I can say that I have beat all the main, well, actually all the Halo game first person Halo games on Legendary at this point. It took a long time, and the longest was anniversary edition. The other ones actually, I thought, went pretty smooth by comparison. Mm-hmm.
See, Lee, it's all about rocking the Magnum and the plasma pistol for noob combo.
Except when you run out of bullets and they don't come back.
But I will say the elites on Reach, if you shoot them in the head with a sniper rifle, they'll still be all right. You got to hit them twice in the head with a sniper rifle.
One thing I noticed is in Reach, they don't duck.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't duck as often. For me, you hit them once
they'll do their head bob,
but then you can hit them again. Whereas in the original Halo, I snipe them once and they jump. They move out of the way then.
Like 50 feet away.
Side to the left.
Do the little side roll.
So that'll be pretty fun. I'm excited. We did do... We've done a couple Let's Plays that we never actually published, the most recent of which was a test stream with iDarb, which I thought was pretty damn fun. We didn't publish it, though. But
it is also important to note that since it's for Dawn Under Heaven, we're going to be soliciting questions to answer. Either before or live while it's going on.
So you'll be able to look to the Dawn Under Heaven Facebook page. You'll probably see some updates coming this week, and then more stuff will roll out next week as we roll into the event.
Definitely. And I think that's all we got going on as of right now. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff in the works.
We can't talk about that, though.
Oh, it's top secret.
You have to have clearance.
Yeah. Anyway, moving right along, I guess now into what's going on in the world, current events. We got a lot of stuff with video games mostly, but
doing tech first.
Yeah, tech first.
Sorry, I guess there's not a lot.
I can't see your sheet over there.
I wanted to talk about this one briefly because it's an interesting thing I think that's happened. We're in this world now where so much is built around digital download kind of stuff. You know, Apple did away with almost all CD drives. You know, more and more stuff is people are wanting it streaming online or whatever.
Yep. Showtime just came out with their streaming service.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so what they added was the Blu-ray company. I don't know who. Is that Sony owns Blu-ray? Don't they?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Sean. Yes, they do.
I don't know if they own it, but there's like a.
Do they?
Yep.
Cool.
Came up with the tech.
Gotcha. Oh yeah, and I think that was the other big thing with the interesting thing about the Xbox One, the fact that it had Blu-ray, because then they had to pay Sony for that to put a Blu-ray player in there. What Blu-ray announced was they are coming out with, I don't know if it's technically a new disc, because I think these discs already existed, but they have discs that will do UHD video. And I just thought that was interesting that they...
Especially 4K. Anybody doesn't know what UHD is?
It is and it isn't. Okay. I won't get into details.
It's as good. It's just. It might as well be 4K. Let's say that. Because apparently Ultra HD isn't 4K, but it's close enough.
It's 4K-ish.
Well, it's also a huge mess because technically UHD, that name, applies to any resolution between 4K and 8K. Technically. According to their standards. It's really annoying. But anyway. I just thought it was interesting that that they actually are coming out with something officially in that capacity, because I was expecting people to want to develop, you know, either the compressions that they're working on to make 4K viable over current internet capabilities, And stuff to that nature rather than continuing physical media.
I think we're getting to a point where we have to like redo the names for things because there was standard def. Now there's high def, and then there's ultra high def. Like it won't stretch much further. We have
mega
to change,
high def.
We have to change because standard def is
ultra.
Standard def is no longer standard. So what?
Deftastic.
Like remember HD DVD?
I remember that.
Blu-ray.
I expected that one to win.
So now we have UHD DVD.
No, it's Blu-ray.
UHD that Blu-ray. One didn't so, yeah, win UHD. Because Blu-ray caved to the porn industry first.
Yeah, well, and that's why VHS won over Betamax.
Yep.
One of the main reasons, though, I thought HD DVD was going to win was because it was a familiar naming. Like when you said tell
it's
someone
such a
HD DVD. But when you tell someone HD DVD, you have, okay, HD and then a DVD. I know what a DVD is, but a Blu-ray.
No, it's weird. I didn't think it took long for people to catch on to Blu-ray.
Yeah,
no.
At all.
It's like a good word to say in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, this word feels so good in my mouth.
It's true. Somewhere.
Moist towelette.
Yeah, oh my God.
I would assume physical media is going to be around for quite a while. You know.
Well, yes, it's going to be around, but I was sort of just surprised
they still
do.
They still do regular DVD, even though Blu-ray's out for a long time. So you just think about that, like Blu-ray trailing off with the same way DVDs would. And that's, you know, still another 10 years, 15 years.
I think we typically see the physical stepping stone before we see the, like, digital compression stepping stone. So it's going to start, you know, with the physical DVD first, and then it will just move on from there.
Because companies haven't figured out digital stuff yet. There's still a lot of confusion, and everybody's still trying to make their own service, and they have previous deals that they want to end, and... like Disney with Netflix, and you know they probably want to have their own now, and but then if everybody has their own, people are gonna get confused, and you know you got to pay for
Disney,
HBO,
and Netflix,
Showtime, Disney, and
ABC and Hulu,
Fox, and like that scares me.
It's annoying. Like I wish people would be content to not have to have a hand in every single industry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in a certain sense, Apple is doing this. Like, they're starting to get into a bit of everything, where I kind of like it when, I'm a device maker. I'm making devices. I'm not going to try and make, you know, a million streaming services, or I'm not going to, you know,
David
do
is
XYZ.
Anti-monopoly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a point. Who's pro-monopoly?
The monopoly guy.
But the problem is, like,
thank you.
Services like Amazon, you're just like...
I don't like Amazon either.
You don't like it, but like a lot of people, it's so convenient. And,
yeah.
But it's actually bad because no one else can compete.
Wait, you're anti-Amazon too?
I don't know if I call it anti-Amazon, but I don't.
Every David that I know doesn't like Amazon for some reason or another.
Well, David's nowhere it's at. What can I say?
Anyway.
Let's reel it back.
David, did you have any other closing comments on UHD Blu-ray?
What have you said?
I thought it was interesting that they're continuing to invest in physical media rather than other stuff. That was my original core comment. If you were paying attention, and clearly you weren't.
No, I wasn't. I was distracted by all the other comments.
I said that before. Anyway, whatever. I suppose that's it.
Great. So guys, WWDC is coming out. It's coming up, and I know
tomorrow.
Nothing about what to expect.
Oh,
I don't either.
I do.
Oh, are we going to get into spoiler territory?
How can we spoil something that's not out yet?
There's leaks and rumors and things, and you know, if you go in not knowing that, it's more of a surprise.
The two obvious things that we know are going to happen regardless. We just know it.
Are we talking about Apple?
Yes.
Okay, great. Just clearing that up.
Who else would I be talking about?
It's not just an Apple event. Just wanted to.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's run by... Well,
oh, is it?
It's, well, no, but it's a developer conference, so other developers do talks, but the main event, like it's hosted by Apple... You know, and the Apple
okay.
keynote
but
at the start.
It's about Apple
sure.
products.
All right, go.
And software.
Okay, the two big things we all know that are going to happen is there's going to be an OS X update and there's going to be an iOS update. That always happens every year without fail at WWDC because it's a developers conference, so it's very software oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably not going to see as much stuff coming in the hardware department. So that's why there's, in a certain sense, there's not many spoilers because it's not really a hardware thing.
Got it.
But
I'm looking for some new Apple Watch stuff.
Yep.
With iOS 9.
Yep. Is it like
a modified iOS on the watch?
No, it's its own. Maybe it is a modified, but it's running its own.
It has its own
watch OS.
Watch OS.
It's just so different. There's not a good way to port it because the interface is so different.
Yeah.
So the rumor is like they're gonna get native apps compared to apps that rely on the phone.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Yeah. And then the other thing that, or the two other big things that the three other big things that people keep talking about are a revamped Apple streaming service. So basically a rehashing of the Beats streaming service. There's all the talk about that. And I think actually some, was it Warner Music just confirmed it or something? I'm not sure. And then the other big one was, of course, I'm drawing a big blank on it now.
And we got a vamp now to wait for David. Okay. Well, that's cool. So it's going to be iOS 9, and then they're going to tease or reveal their newest OS X.
Yep. Which would be, I don't know.
See what the new name is.
So it's going to be OS 10.3, right?
What? No. We're going to be in 10.11.
Sorry. That's what I meant. 10.11.
How do you mean that?
No, because like they messed up the whole decimal system. They were like 10.9. All right, now we're gonna do 10.10.
Right, you're not messing up decimals work that way.
It's 10.1. 10.10 is 10.1.
True.
If you
from math,
that's true. There was a 9 at the end of it that they dropped off, and now you have to round up.
But so what do you guys think they'll call it? They did Mavericks then Yosemite. It's just landmarks, right? So
well, it's supposed to be inspirational places.
Mavericks isn't a landmark. That's like
okay.
Well, it's a phenomena.
Yeah, it's like a wave.
So it's inspirational places. Inspirational. So they're drawing inspiration from
nature. I vote Everest.
So they could. Like I'm guessing they're going to keep it or U.S.
Were they limiting it to the West Coast? I thought
California.
Okay, so it's California things.
Yep. Maybe it'll be OSX that's where or it's made. Like Redwood.
Yeah, I was about to say that one. Yeah,
it'll Sequoia. Be like OSX apocalyptic drought.
Yeah,
San Andreas fall.
San Andreas. That's a good one.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm excited to see that. What time do they have their?
I believe it's usually 10
Central.
Yeah. Noon.
I mean,
Central.
10. Yeah,
10 Pacific.
10 Pacific.
Noon Central.
Noon Central.
Gotcha. Yep. And I completely forgot what the other things I know they were going to talk about.
Well,
I
don't
know. But should be a good time.
Yeah.
When we're halfway through Mad Max, I'm sure it'll dawn upon you.
Oh yeah, and I will derail the conversation.
But just it's a fun part of the year too, because this week we got all the tech Apple stuff, and then next week is E3.
Yeah.
But you know, with all the games, there's been a lot of good games coming out. Witcher.
Remembered. It's been a great game. Oh, he's remembered. Oh, God, great. Remembered. Well, thanks. To finish
new
your
Apple
point,
TV. Okay, that was it.
Was that the one thing? I thought you had.
No, it was that, and then potentially an Apple streaming TV service.
Great.
I wonder if they'll keep the Apple TV at the cheaper price if they update it.
I think they have to, because there's enough other streaming devices that are at that price point or lower. I think they just have to.
But I haven't heard many great things from the Chromecast.
I just bought one, actually.
Really? I'd be really curious to hear what, after you've had it for a while, how it's working for you.
It's slick. I'm going to start hosting movie nights, and I'm going to try streaming straight from my, you know, brick that it's on to the TV. And so I'll let you know how that goes.
Nice.
Cool. Keep us posted. But anyway, moving on to games. E3. Yeah, games. It's been a great year for games. There's been a lot of good stuff out so far.
Mm-hmm.
Who's played Witcher?
Me.
You? I have Witcher 2 on sitting Xbox? On my 360.
Yeah, on
Xbox.
I have it sitting Witcher 2 waiting for me to play because I got it when it was free.
Mm-hmm. So the prevailing thought right now is that the PS4 version is like superior in graphics and performance.
I would say the PC version, I've been playing, is
superior.
Which it actually, that's one of the complaints, another gate, the down gate or whatever it's called.
We need to find out a new name for things. Please stop to whoever decides that we're going to call everything after Watergate. Come up with a new freaking suffix.
It is silly. It
or just don't make everything a conspiracy.
Yes.
When it isn't.
Exactly.
Because that's just promoting games and anyways. But I played a little bit. It seems really fun, really a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Which is why I haven't got very far, even though I've played a couple hours. I'm still like in the starting area.
I just scratched the surface. I didn't even kill the griffin yet. I was still hunting him. Okay. But when it first came out, we streamed it at work, and we were playing for about 3 hours doing only side quest stuff, not doing the main quest line. And it just takes up that much time to do little like minute things in the game. And there's so many like you can craft potions and build things, and just like there's like a huge amount of regions you can gather and things you can discover.
So it's this insane. Is sounding a lot like Skyrim to me in many regards. Giant open world, you know, magic and stuff, ingredients and crafting, yep. And yeah. Side quests.
RPG.
Cool. So there's some like discrepancy between the quality between the
platforms? Definitely. Pretty much every main like game that everyone talks about that's on Xbox One and PS4, everyone leans towards the PS4 version.
So here's a question with that. Is there an actual major spec difference between the two? Because I thought, and you know, it could be some, having bad memory, but I thought that they were pretty similarly
the processor.
Built. Okay.
Some key games run at 60, I think, on, or not 60, 1080 on PS4, whereas they won't on Xbox One.
Yeah, they usually do like 900 on Xbox.
Yeah,
but that's like
a crappy future we're living in if we can't even have that.
But like that's you know, that's still like in the beginning stages of the software and stuff. And usually, you know, if you go back to Xbox 360 with the Call of Duty game that came out and how terrible it looks, and then you go to GTA 5 at the end of the life, same hardware, just
right.
Yeah,
better software,
or just
so,
like
better utilizing.
Yep, the understanding how to make content for specific systems.
That's a good extreme example. Another one would be like even just Halo 3 to Reach or Halo 4, like the faces and how they were animated and stuff like that.
You know, I wish that they would make a device that you could buy, but then you can upgrade it later as you go on.
Here
so you
go.
Always stay
PC
on the
master
type, thing.
Yep.
Did I say that not having a gaming PC?
There is problems with that, though, because, you know, I'll play things like GTA and it'll crash and there's updates and I'll get black and screens and...
Yeah, and it's not standardized across... Things aren't clean and, you know, that's the nice thing about consoles is they're standard. Like, you can make a game and it'll work on every Xbox One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's wins and losses both
ways. Oh, for sure.
There's also huge price falls in new tech for PCs, so you'll buy something for
$1,000. Which I find it really interesting.
A couple months later, it's $600, you know?
Yeah. Like, based on that, though, like, Steam, how... Like PC and Steam are like synonymous, and like
Won't be soon.
But that's the thing. Like Steam machines, like there doesn't seem like a lot of negativity towards it. But it's generally the idea of buying a console, even though maybe you could upgrade it. I don't know how easy it would be.
That's a good point.
I think it's interesting because they're coming out with a controller too. Because though I am happy that Xbox made their Xbox One controller playable on the PC, because
I've been
playing
that.
Like Witcher and stuff, those type of games on a keyboard I can't do
the 360 controller. I think has worked for a while on PCs.
Yep.
Yeah.
But to your point about patches and having things go wrong, it is interesting that with the more frequent push for DLC and to keep players engaged in new content, like I think a big issue with that is just having to patch stuff that gets broken that they didn't anticipate breaking because of new content.
Mm-hmm.
Like Xbox One, like The Witcher on Xbox One is still waiting for a patch. I think they patched PC and PS4 now. But
it's very difficult to integrate new code without breaking something else you've coded before.
And that's the same with like Destiny. And
right.
They'll do that in the weekly updates. Like the heavy armor or heavy weapon ammo bug that was... Basically, in the beginning of the game, it took, like, I don't know, like, what, 6-8 months to fix?
Yeah.
And,
like,
and they
the
were
guy
like...
working, like, he had, like, one guy, like, that's all he'd been working on was that one, because it was such on the, it was a part of the base code, and it affected so many different things a part of the game.
Yeah, because everyone was like, why can't you just fix this? This seems simple. And he's
just
like,
click the
but
button.
Actually, this connects to, like, 9 other things.
Yeah. But I guess to finish up on Witcher, it's huge and sprawling and awesome so far. It's gonna take a lot of my life when I finally dive into it.
I'm excited for the kind of resurge of single player games. Just because I'm a new dad too. That I like games that I can just be like,
you can stop and start, and you don't
put down
need
the
to...
controller and leave. And
what's cool,
don't die.
I noticed this with Assassin's Creed Unity is like I'll shut off my Xbox and turn it back on, and it'll be still right there because they're always on.
Which is the bug for Witcher. Is because of that feature, and the same with Ori and the Blind Forest, and I lost 3 hours because of that, and I had to turn off that feature.
Oh, no.
Those bastards.
So,
So word to the wise, watch that
be
feature.
Be careful.
I should.
I do have it back on.
Ori,
though.
Okay.
Because it is nice to.
But I felt the world in Witcher was kind of fragile in that I didn't. Most games like that, I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna kill everyone and just mess around. But like this, it's like, ooh, I can't because there are consequences. I can't just kill these guards because then
I
my story
that.
Is gonna be messed up.
I had that in the beginning bar. I killed
them. Oh, really?
And then
that's awesome.
I can't go back there and buy
no
drinks
way.
Anymore.
No way. Oh, yeah. That's wow. So cool. I so I'm told
because I was like, I'll buy drinks, and then he like said something snarky, and I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna let that fly. And I like snarky back, and then they're like, wanted to kill me.
Oh my god.
I'm really, I agree with what you said, like the idea of single player games.
Yeah, because like Batman's coming out in a couple days here, and I'm excited for that.
Or and the other big one I know is the next Assassin's Creed, oh, what is it?
Syndicate.
Syndicate, thank you. That one, again, like, they're not even putting in multiplayer on it, which I really like it. As you guys all know, I don't really do multiplayer that on. Like, if you guys aren't on, I don't do multiplayer.
So, like, the one thing with Unity that I was really excited for was co-op, because I love the idea of, you know, buddy assassins, like, doing more complex jobs because there's more of you. And I still haven't played it because it was broken for months.
Yeah. Well, when I played, I borrowed it from Ben because he got a disc. And I borrowed it, and I think I borrowed it like four or five months, I think, after it launched, and it was still filled with bugs.
Yeah.
Like all of, like, not the really bad ones, like the faces disappearing that they had in some of the photos, but it was enough. Like, there was one, like, really early on, I got stuck in a wall, basically. Like, my character kept running and I couldn't control him. You just run in a straight line and you got stuck in a wall. Really obnoxious.
Well, you didn't have the ability to get out of walls. That's a unlockable.
Oh, is it?
Or you have to purchase it. It's DLC.
Oh, dang. Nuts.
But anyway, no, Lee, with the bar thing, because we're still talking about The Witcher, Assassin's Creed, I was a little more lenient on them, and then they, like, didn't like what I said, and then they were waiting for me when I left the bar, and we fought then. I didn't kill them. So it's funny how these subtle little changes affect wider gameplay. I'm told there are, like, 36 endings to the game. My friend Kim... reviewed it for my work. She got one of the bad endings, so she's playing through again to get a better one.
What makes it bad, though?
Well, maybe just unsatisfactory. I don't know,
for her taste.
Or maybe it is a bad ending. Maybe it's bad, like bad things happen.
That's maybe what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Like, but what one
of the hallmarks is like unforeseen consequences. If you see something, you think, oh, this is obviously the right thing to do, and then you save this monster or whatever, or you kill this monster, but he was trying to say, hey, I can save these people, and you're like, no, you're lying. But then it turns out he probably could have, and then you're like, oh, shit. Yep.
Yeah, and they have a lot of, like, they'll have, like, books and letters that help you if you, like, take the time to read them, like, just to find the truth, so you can actually make the right decision.
Yeah, I think...
But if you don't do that, then you can end up screwing up.
I think moral ambiguity was a big theme with this game, and like, not knowing the clear set
road.
Which
is fun, and I think Game Informer, they talked about this, that I thought was really interesting with RPGs was usually it's like D&D and stuff, like you work on your character, like you have a very specific vision of your character and you do everything to make it like, I'm going to be the righteous, like always good, you know, no, do no bad.
Right.
And this game you can't because you don't know.
It's all over the place. But I think Geralt's,
people could be lying to you.
I think Geralt's character, he's definitely not, you know, that good upstanding gentleman. He's riding that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying that's more built in, that you can't choose to be that compared to like Mass Effect they had.
Yeah.
They basically like do the good one or do the bad one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like, pretty clear which option was which.
Yeah. It's just an interesting take.
Definitely. And all I got to say, I guess to add and finish up, is real-time beard growth.
Really?
Yeah.
But
no,
that's the thing on PC, you get the hair works from NVIDIA and it all swishes in the wind and stuff.
Do a shampoo commercial. But going back to bugs, and then apologies for bugs, we had Halo 3 ODST drop as the apology from 343 for effing up Royal.
I still say that they already had it in the works and then just used it as an apology after.
I think them giving it away for free is the change. I agree. Like, fair. They were planning on probably selling it for $10. Bucks.
Totally disagree.
No?
It's the Master Chief Collection. It makes no sense to include it in the Master Chief Collection. And they already had the engine in the system from Halo 3, so it was definitely much easier than making
it. It'd be a lot harder to do, like, Reach.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Like, what they may have been doing is, like, they would have been releasing it not as part of the Master Chief, but as a...
You have no evidence. You're speculating.
I agree with Wade, though.
That's everything that we just said is speculation, Wade. I mean, that's the whole point of
that. You're speculating, too, that it was easy.
Yeah.
That's why they did it.
And you're also speculating that wasn't, you know, what we were saying either. So nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But one thing with that matchmaking on Halo. So like 2-3 weeks ago, I jumped back onto Halo matchmaking for something, and for the first two games I tried to go to join, I crashed out of both of them. Still, really obnoxious. But ODST looks nice. I played through that again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it looks great on 60p.
Yeah,
should also probably play through that, huh?
It's great, and I love the music so much in that one. It's really great.
It's okay.
It's brilliant.
Wait, stop being contrary.
No, this is a long-standing disagreement we have about the best Halo game, and I'll say it's Halo 3 ODST.
Oh, my.
It's amazing. I will say a lot of people agree with you, but I think it's one of the things where it's clear set. Like, some people are like, oh, no, clearly ODST is the best, and some people are like, oh, no, it's clearly not. You know what I mean?
I would say the guitar player upstairs would agree that Halo 2 is the best.
Definitely.
You mean people have opposing opinions and they argue about it?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's polarizing. It's a polarizing game, ODST.
So people have clear opinions and they argue about them, Wade?
What?
Yeah. No, you're right, but you're wrong.
Yeah. I disagree in a clear way. But yeah, so it's nice that finally dropped. I'm been enjoying it.
Which isn't free... For everybody.
No, that's right. You had to play in a certain window of time.
The one thing I am wondering is if they are going to release it for like $10 or something to players.
Yep, it's already.
They
will. You can already buy it.
Is it like $10 or what?
Yeah, it's like $10.
Okay. So if you buy it, then is it as a separate like game then?
No, it requires Master Chief Collection.
Oh, okay. That's where they get you.
It's like a DLC to Master Chief.
Effing DLC.
$70.
And speaking of effing DLC, House of Wolves came out.
David's been working on his segues.
You're very good at them.
Thank you. I've been working.
It's unlike last time where Ben and I just railroaded all of you.
You know,
segues.
It defeats the purpose if you point them out, by the way.
I didn't point it out. She did.
I did. Because it's funny because he bounces in his chair when he makes them successfully.
You can't say, so maybe someday, audience, you'll be able to see how happy I am when I make a good segue.
Anyway, yeah, House of Wolves came out. I think Lee and I played through a fair amount, but...
We played through all the story.
Yeah.
And we did the level 28... prison.
How fast would you say we could got through the story? I mean, we didn't race
too
through
freaking
it.
Fast. It was super short. I thought.
Yeah, it was.
I think in about 3 hours.
Probably like an hour.
I mean, it was.
Depending on.
It was like five missions.
Depending on what level difficulty you do.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. I just wish it was longer. I thought it was. It had a satisfying arc, but there wasn't nearly enough there for me.
Oh, I was
wait,
super
you can
disappointed
choose level of difficulty
for story
missions
and
for strikes too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not if you're doing the matchmaking
or. Okay. But anyway, I think we just did like middle of the road difficulty. Not the easy, not the hard.
The regular.
Well, it's pretty much just normal hard. We did hard.
Yeah. It's like easy or whatever, normal, and then two
level
hards.
32.
We did the middle one. Anyway, it was fun, you know, hunting down the head of the House of Wolves and all that.
Can we do spoilers on it?
There's not much to spoil, I guess.
It's the ending of the story.
You capture him.
Well...
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Who didn't see that coming? I mean, what?
No, I'm just saying, like, I spoilers. I was really disappointed that it was like the time going back in time thing. Like, I thought that was pretty cheesy. I liked the tie into the Vault of Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh yeah,
and
yeah,
using
yeah
that technology.
Oh, that was I love that actually.
But it was just like, oh, he's going back in time to fix everything, like the ultimate. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to watch more Hollywood movies then, because he should know that it never works.
Yeah,
ever.
It's tough because it's very fertile ground for awesome storytelling. I you know, hopefully they turn it around with maybe
expansion 2 or whatever.
I don't know
whatever they're going to call it.
Well, that's a good point. That I'm hoping E3 we're going to see some, I don't know, Destiny stuff. Maybe more. They're definitely coming out with more DLC. They already said they're coming up with more raids.
Yeah,
but I just don't think more of the same thing is people aren't. It's gonna keep dwindling.
Yeah,
their player base.
Yeah,
I think we need a Destiny 2.
Red Bull leaked the name of their next expansion. I forgot it was like the something King.
Red Bull did.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They were like partnered or something.
Weird. Yeah, it's and like I kind of like the one part of me says yes, like get me a Destiny 2 that has a whole new batch of you know nice long, you know story for me, but at the same time it's like.
No.
I've put down like $80 or $90 whatever into this freaking game.
Way too soon for Destiny.
Yeah,
2.
Like I don't like I need to play this longer. Or like you know, so that they maybe who knows, maybe they'll be announcing like their season DLC season 2
mm-hmm.
or something. Will be the
I think they one need to do what
the
would
Taken
bring
King. That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
The Taken King?
Yeah.
What would bring me back more is more support for single player.
Yeah.
Options.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, because I like to play solo. Nothing against anyone here. I just do.
Yeah.
And more.
But just like
story.
I'm odd hours, and you know when I can, I jump on. And it's like I can't text everybody like, oh, you're free. Oh, I'm free in an hour. Well, I only have an hour. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Just not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess that's pretty much what I've been playing right now. Then yeah, E3 coming E3. Up.
Yeah.
That's next week. A lot of fun stuff. Exciting. That's going to be revealed. I can't wait. I'm really excited mostly to see, for me, because what Nintendo comes out with, just because I have a good feeling of what Xbox is going to be doing. But we won't see Zelda, unfortunately. They'll be focusing on probably, you know, Star Fox and a couple other things.
If they'll talk anymore about the new console.
Yeah, that I was going to say, do we know, or is that going to be next year's? Because we know, like, because there was a release date for that.
I think know they said it was a year. Unusual that they had a press conference so early, because it was beyond a year.
Okay.
That they were looking.
So it might be next year.
I think they need to say something. I don't know what, but I don't know.
Well, how old is the...
The Wii U came out.
I'm actually glad.
But the thing is, the new console is not intended to replace the Wii U or the DS or
it's
going to
be a two-screened Wii U controller. Boom!
Oh, man. Absurd. The thing is, like, I was hoping that... I was glad that Zelda got delayed, because I want Zelda on the new system, because I want to play that game, but I don't want to buy a Wii U to play it.
Yeah, the winds seem to you know, go towards saying that... The winds. The people seem to be saying that that they're gonna announce a console this year, and I don't know. I think it could go either way.
They've already announced it. They just have announced no details on it, other than what it is, their project name, and I mean, it's, they already had a press conference.
But like you said, it could be another like side thing, you know, more equipment way of interacting with things, not necessarily a competitor to, you know, Xbox and Sony.
I'd also like to say this is probably the longest guitar solo in human history.
Nintendo NX.
Yep. Which, I don't know, that seems like a terrible code name, because I'm pretty sure that's used for some, like, I know that's been used in other military situations. That's like, that's a designation for experimental.
Well,
NX or just an X.
It's also Nintendo NEX, like next.
Oh.
I don't like it. I'm sure it's just a code name now, but.
Yeah, I'd rather have a cool code name than NX.
Anyways.
So what are you guys excited about for E3? What do you want to see more of?
Fallout 4. Because it looks real gorgeous. I've never played the Fallout games, but I appreciated their updated graphics.
I have not played Fallout either. It's not been my cup of tea, but looking at the trailer for it, like, I wasn't wowed by the graphics in the trailer, and I know that's not in game, but I know there's a style to it, but some people were like giving them like crap for being off. I'm like, they're not bad graphics or anything. No. They look like Fallout.
It's just funny that, because the big thing was Witcher not looking as good as people thought it was, and then Halo 4 or the Fallout 4 comes out and it's like not that great, but everybody's going nuts over it because it's Fallout,
right?
And it's like double standards type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just, you know, people prefer, I guess, honesty in gameplay trailers or something. Mm-hmm. I think Watch Dogs had an amazing looking trailer, but it didn't hold up.
Watch Dogs had a million and a half problems. I was so annoyed with that game and so disappointed, I just stopped playing it.
Yeah,
I
think it's just people are responding
but
to the honesty.
That's part
in the
of the debate. And you know, you do like computer graphics rendered scenes like World of Warcraft, and you play that game and it doesn't look like that. Yeah. Is that bad?
I wonder if it's almost like managing expectations.
Yeah, essentially.
It seems more and more nowadays like people are wanting to see in-game footage for trailers and seeing that from the get-go rather than as beautiful Blur Studios'
show me the
work
gameplay.
Is. Blur has gorgeous cinematics and I love him, but
I tried playing Fallout 3. I did not. I got stuck in the middle of nowhere with, like, someone shot my legs, so I would walk like a foot, like a minute, and there was no way to fast travel or anything, and I was like, fuck this game.
Okay, well, how much time did you put into it?
Probably like 4 hours to that point.
Just didn't seem very
penetratable. It's same with Skyrim. Like, great game. I hate the mechanics. I hate the Bethesda. Like, I just don't like their
Bethesda.
I just don't like their game mechanics.
I love Skyrim so much. I actually just started replaying it the other day.
I own it, but I've never played it. I should probably
see Lee.
Do that. Really
you just have to do the Thomas the Train mod.
Yeah, exactly.
For the dragon.
Like, by far my favorite
that'd be
mod.
Scary.
Or someone I tweeted that out the other day. Someone responded, "Oh, this one's even better," and it's a dragon with Macho Man Randy Savage as the head of the dragon, and he has the sound
so
bites
creepy.
Like, "Oh, I'm going to get you.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
It's pretty good.
I gotta love mods. That's why I've been holding off.
GTA 5 shark gun mod is also one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's why I've been holding off. I decided not to buy GTA 5 on Xbox One because the mods were looking too phenomenal. I'm just going to wait, and I may have to wait a year or so to make a gaming PC, but I'm just going to wait for that because it'll be much funner.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Fallout 4, anyone else got excited games?
Well, I know the one I think Lee put this down, but I know I saw it was the Halo. I'm going to say Halo Worlds. Halo. Lego Worlds, mm-hmm. which is, it looks like Minecraft with Lego, but.
What you wanted Minecraft to be in the first place.
Yeah, but the other nice thing, I like Minecraft for what it is, but what I'm liking about what I'm seeing anyway from the trailers for this is it's the fun of Minecraft and that you build and craft and, you know, do that, but the joy also of a built-in level editor. So you can plop in pre-made elements and you can change your terrain. Yeah. And it's all Legos.
Yep. I bought the early access. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, unfortunately it's PC only right now. So, and I don't, as I said, I don't have a PC.
I wonder how long until someone, after that comes out, until someone makes, exact replicas of the movie.
Is it kind of like Minecraft where it's first person, or are you just editing from, this godlike editor mode?
It's both. It looks like, or it might be third person.
First person.
So it's both. So it's a level editor where you're above it all and you're moving the terrain or plopping elements, or you're a character playing it.
That's probably my biggest complaint is their camera movement, how they deal with all that is really hard, and it's hard to go brick by brick and make things.
Yeah,
but I see a lot of potential there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lego Worlds, a good solid pick.
Yeah, and they actually have cars and
drills and
bulldozer where you can drive in it and actually make a road. Like it makes a road as you drive.
That's awesome.
And levels it out and stuff like that. Like that's what I wanted in Minecraft.
Yeah, I would say it's tough because Minecraft doesn't offer you any ways to build something large quickly. You have to do piece by piece.
Yep.
Brick by brick.
Mm-hmm. Or you have to run.
They still have that, but they have they'll actually have real sets to pop in. I'm sure that those might, DLC buy it.
But yeah, like you can buy Lego kits in the real world, you can buy digital kits.
But I hope they offer every single type of brick that they have digitally so that I could go in and follow the instructions for the supercharged and make it brick by brick myself.
That would be awesome. What, David?
One thing that the Legos had for a long time, I don't remember what they call it anymore, but it was a Lego digital designer where you could actually make Chrome. A Lego suit.
Chrome has it. You can build with Legos in Chrome.
Okay. Well, but then and maybe it's built into there now, but you can build a Lego set digitally, but then you can buy it. You can send off to Lego and they send you all the pieces to make it.
What if you could do that with this game?
Well, that's the thing I worry about, what could be the problem, because if they did every Lego brick, they don't make all of them anymore. There's so many Lego bricks that I can look back at old Lego sets of mine that they just don't make anymore. And so then if you're now building this expectation,
they could validate that, oh, here's the bricks that
you can't use. Just need to be marked if they're going to, offer a purchase. Or, have them, call them retro bricks or something.
Mm, yeah. And that's another thing. The other game that I forgot that hopefully we'll see more from is The Division. I'm hoping we'll see something more from that. I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah.
It got pushed back. So yeah,
exactly.
Obviously, I'm hoping that Halo, Guardians related.
Mm-hmm. That's a sure thing. Just Cause 3, hopefully some more stuff from there. I'd love to see more in-game footage of that. I'm just going out looking at a list.
More now. Battlefront, I'd like to see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They showed off a little trailer during the Star Wars Celebration. I'm gone in for some gameplay footage, though, because it's going to be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be...
Yeah, I was going to say that.
All right, David, you have 5 seconds. We're moving on.
Yep, no, that's it. Okay. That's all I was seeing in there.
You want to talk about the Xbox One controller.
Oh, yeah. The controller, so there's the new system that's coming out.
E3.
Yeah, but in theory, there's going to be... Or is it in theory, or was it confirmed?
There's just been leaks that they keep taking away. Amazon puts it out, talking about it.
And there's gonna be, in theory, a Xbox One with a terabyte internal drive, and then also, more importantly, what I'm more interested in is the new controller that has a standard 3.8mm jack in it. Mm-hmm. I don't need to buy the $25 whatever it is adapter to plug in headphones. So my question with that is, and because I don't know how this was handled with the 360 or whatnot, if I plug in headphones into my controller, is it able to stream game audio over to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, phenomenal.
So I have the plug-in for the bottom of mine, and I play Destiny through my headphones, everything.
Oh, fantastic. I would love that, because then I can play it and not have to worry about annoying Katie.
Because there's a game music or in game sound. In the controller, there's a swap between game audio and chat audio, so you can control the balance of what you hear. So, like, in Destiny, if I'm raiding with people, I'll have the game audio almost off.
Okay,
and it, like, quiets it down.
Okay.
Hmm. But you can't get that if you just plug it in directly in the controller.
Well, there might be a digital way to do it.
There's probably going to be a button set system. On the bottom to control it.
No, I don't think so.
For the new one, it'd be silly to not control the audio that you're hearing from your headphones.
Well, so there might be there a digital. Be there might be a digital way to do it. Yeah, like you might have like to go to in home the, in the settings.
In the settings, yeah.
Hmm.
Just harder.
Which, and all it's like, yeah. That wouldn't bother me that much.
I would honestly just see them putting a little like scroll wheel next to it.
I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Cool. Look forward to seeing more of that.
Yeah, it should be fun. It is a pretty crazy improvement. And speaking of crazy, Mad Max.
Oh my.
The movie we saw. This, by the way, I'm hosting. I get to go between segments. You son of a bitch. Yeah. So this month we saw Mad Max.
Well,
and
three of us saw Mad Max.
Yes, Melissa didn't see it, but she didn't mind discussing spoilers. So
I don't.
We're gonna dive right in.
Do we want? Do we want to touch on
before
spoiler list first? And
so
then, and go into spoilers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what can we say? David and Lee didn't like it. I did.
I didn't like it.
Yeah,
talk
he
about
said he hated it. He wanted all the filmmakers to be without jobs. And
yep.
I was just going to talk about sort of the fun reaction from a certain crowd of Twitter folks called the Meninists before the movie came out. One of them wrote this very long blog post that admitted halfway through after bashing
Meninists?
The Meninists.
They're chauvinists.
They're the men feminists.
Oh, men feminists.
But they, you know, they're for men. They're men's rights activists is how they call themselves.
I'd go so far as to call them chauvinists.
Because well, yeah, like, no, they totally
it's
are.
It's not like they're looking for equal rights for men versus women. Like a feminist is looking for equal rights
they're
for
looking
men.
For maintaining the status quo as it is now.
Yeah.
But one of them wrote this big, long blog post to which he admitted halfway through that he'd never seen the movie and was basing his rants entirely off of the like YouTube trailers for it. But he had a lot of things to say about Charlize Theron bossing around Mad Max in the trailers.
What's funny is in the movie, he bosses her around most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't edit the trailers that way. So they got all uppity and were like, don't see it. It's not an action movie like you think it is. It's
yeah,
a really like
what
a feminist
they're showing
agenda.
Is more later on when they actually develop a relationship and then he trusts her more.
That's super dumb.
It's super dumb, but it was funny.
Okay. Well, I mean, what can we talk about before we dive in?
A lot of it was
stuff.
Real.
Yeah.
A lot.
What I was surprised about is how they blended the real stunts with the effects was really cool to me.
Yeah.
Because it looks seamless, which I think is what they did with the Star Trek reboot as well. They wanted to blend like real sets and stuff with VFX.
Yeah, I think JJ does an awesome job with that.
He does something with that for sure.
compared to other directors.
Yeah, that's true. Compared to other directors, that's true. It was, and also, I don't. Has anyone here seen any of the previous Mad Max films?
Nope. But they're Mel Gibson, right?
I think that was one of my problems with the movie, is because I've seen snippets of it, but I don't remember it all at all. And he had a lot of flashbacks to those moments, and I think I got the general idea of what they meant, but
yeah,
it was a little struggle.
I mean, are you talking about just the, when he was like seeing things?
The little girl
and
stuff like that.
I don't think that... I mean, I think it was just the right amount of subtlety where you kind of got, okay, he has these issues with loss and being protective of her and losing her and guilt and all that. I think it was, you know, it was did what it needed to do, and you probably would get more out of it if you've seen the previous films. If not, you know, you can still enjoy it. I don't know. Anything else? I really can't think of anything to talk about before. Like, it's all on the table for me, so I just want to delve into it. What do you guys think? Great. Okay, we're not about talking about spoilers now. Spoilers now. So thanks for listening. If you are on your way out to see it right now in the theaters, great. So yeah, I thought it was probably my favorite film so far this year. You guys, David, you didn't agree?
As I watched it, and more so as I started thinking about it afterwards, because I saw it this morning, so it's very fresh in my mind still. So my opinion may change even more in the next couple of days, but. What it was looking... Well, one thing that I appreciated it, but I didn't at the same time, was that they sort of just threw you into this world. They didn't spend a whole lot of time explaining what this world is, if you will. and the sort of the backstory of the world. How did we get to this point? And maybe that's something that is touched in the other Mad Max films, and I would have been.
They
better
briefly
to watch
talked
it.
About nuclear.
Yeah, you hear snippets of that, but you know, I'd like to know more about that. And then, what it seemed like to me by the end of it is, it seemed like they didn't, in my opinion, sort of delve into the story as much as I would have wanted. It was more like there was this overarching story of them trying to get these women out to the green place, and then, spoiler alert, you know, then getting them back to the Citadel. And it was like, okay, that's sort of that loose thing for car chases between. And it sort of was just, you know, car chase and explosions and whatnot, which also, the guys fighting in those things are idiots. They're terrible fighters. I gotta say, they have terrible weapons, and they're not
critic.
Handling it well. You know, it's car chase, explosion, and then, like, a few moments of, like, okay, we're gonna do this, or, like, it's cold out, it's nighttime, look, a satellite, and then car chase, and then another thing, and it was just sort of like that, back and forth.
And what's your point again?
I didn't like that.
Why not?
Because I wanted more story.
My opinion is, obviously I went into seeing the movie with a lot of expectation, you know, 98% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes, everybody saying it's fucking amazing. So I kind of went in with that mentality, even though I knew it wasn't going to be that, but I think it was even more, I was disappointed that the hype didn't match the movie, and it felt really, again, that, you know, they were kind of letting a lot of things go just because it had some really cool action scenes related to the characters and the development, and it had so many cheesy moments where, like, my favorite, like, line is, you know, what are you out here for? Redemption. Like, and it's just like, really? Like, that's
I was
that's
also surprised
line.
That I don't that remember that Mad Max.
Exactly, you're so distracted by all the explosions.
Max. He doesn't talk much.
Exactly,
like, there's very little dialogue.
He didn't
like,
talk,
overall.
which was kind of cool in the beginning.
Yeah.
But he basically went to what's her name again?
Furiosa.
And then it came back to him as an actor. Mm-hmm. I thought his progression as a character was pretty
didn't really do anything
pretty standard and just a normal, like, I don't want to get involved and then I turn around and help them win. It wasn't very dramatic or
yeah, yeah. Well, I,
like, there wasn't a moment. He just basically they all left and he had a little flashback with the girl and she told him to help him and he's like, okay, I'll help you now.
Well, I think it's pretty clear more about Furiosa. It's more her story than Mad Max.
Yep.
He really doesn't,
which
have,
I think is a problem because the film is called Mad Max, and it starts with him, the very first scene, and him talking.
I mean,
with a voiceover, which I think really puts him in your head, and you expect that to continue, that, like, close relationship with someone in your head talking to you,
mm-hmm.
and then it completely goes away for like 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So those disconnects really bothered me.
Yeah. I think people may also give it a pass because it is one of those, like, cult classic films, the previous ones.
And I didn't have that.
And it's going to be, you know, like,
either.
Jurassic World or a bunch of other
I'm
ones.
I'm not giving that
also
a pass. I'm going to be critical as
I mean, Lee,
talk about that film.
The things that you're describing the film of doing, like, people giving it a pass because of the cool action. I mean, I think Star Trek Into Darkness is much more guilty of that. And not as good as a movie, but we gave it a pass because it had, like, so much great action and like, well, yeah,
you don't speak for me. I did not give that a pass.
I'm not, but I think Lee and I walked out of the theater liking it, but you know, that movie definitely does a lot of that. And I still like it.
No, I still liked the movie. I'm just saying it doesn't
live up to your,
it doesn't deserve a 98%.
I gotcha.
Critic rating.
Well,
on
that's
Rotten
not
Tomatoes.
That's
compared to other movies that have come out.
I think, yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is tough because it's not a Metacritic.
Yeah.
It's
I'm just saying that's the, what everybody gave it. And it, I don't know. It just it shouldn't be described as like this amazing movie when you compare it to something like Interstellar, where just the feelings and emotions I got from that film just don't compare at all to this one.
Okay, yeah. If your grounds of rating a film are how emotionally moved you were, totally. I think people factor in like the amazing stunts and the the look of certain scenes and the cinematography, like. I think that's what you and I tend to look for. But I don't know.
I think that's what movies, like, there's obviously different degrees of what it brings to you. But at the end of the day, if you want to, you know, talk about it against others and describe, you know, put a rating on it, like, there has to be one common theme. And I think that should be it, is the characters and the story and how it makes you feel.
Sure. Yeah, I would definitely agree that, you know, the emotional weight and impact walking out of it was not nearly as much as something like Interstellar. But, you know, that said, I really liked, you know, the world that they set up. The villain was just really cool. And just gross and like unnatural, and his whole like cult society.
I loved the characters, like the three lords or whatever. They're kind of like, they all had a different unique kind of look and feeling. You know, the bullet guy and the gas guy, and he's like all fat and stuff and greedy. Yeah. And then the, I don't know what he was, but the
which guy?
The main dude. Like,
oh yeah,
his. The women Joe. And his the mother's milk and right. Like,
oh god, what. Yeah, it was just, it was so odd and weird and quirky.
It made me think, it did make me think about what would it take to end for our world to end up like that world.
Yeah,
like how far to shit has everything gone to push humanity I think to that's kind of state.
That's what I liked the most is the setting and design of the world
and the theory characters. They're in Australia, I think.
Yeah,
in theory
it's set in Australia.
The outback. David, what do you think? I mean, what do you think about comparing him to a character like Indiana Jones? I don't think Indiana Jones has arcs. He just kind of goes on adventures, and it's less about the character, it's more about just the figure, the heroic adventure.
Well, one thing I would say to that though is it depends on which movie you talk about for Indiana Jones. Because for example, if we look at a movie like the first Indiana Jones, I would agree he doesn't have much of an arc, because though of the style of that movie, was it was supposed to be sort of an homage or a joke almost about old B movie adventures. However, if you look at Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, I'd say there's totally an arc there. It's, you know, it's a very standard, you know, a hero's journey, you know, him and his father's relationship. It's a very standard arc, but it's done well. He does have an arc in that
one. I think he does that well, given to, you know, if you look at the beginning of the movie where they don't show his face. Like, they don't show him, you know, maybe him, his back, and don't show his face until the scene where he turns around and shoots the guy or whatever. And compared to it, Mad Max, I think if they did more of that where they kind of distance him, you know, he influenced the story and centered around it. But to me, the voiceover and him following him, getting captured, like, that brought me invested in him, in him, and then they completely took him away. And then move to Furiosa.
Yeah, I think, looking back, I think I did want and expect more out of him as the film went on instead of less. Which is, yeah, it does set him up like, okay, he's this underdog captive, and at some point he's going to break out and become a more fleshed out character and save the day. I guess I'm wondering if that's consistent with how he's written. Because he didn't really have very many lines, and he wasn't very emotive. He was just about, like...
He was gruff.
Yeah,
he was very gruff.
I mean, the like... plot setting of the first one is that like he's a cop and his like wife and small child are like killed by this bike gang in this sort of world,
and now he's like crazy.
Yeah, and he like went off the rails and you know.
Yeah, it's almost like the first one is almost like it's more like at the start, if you will, of like the full deterioration of society, I think.
Yeah, there's still
like
a police
like it's the
force,
tipping it's
still...
the tipping point that then would lead into this world where this movie is, where like it's all gone to hell.
So, like, the gruffness that you get and the, like, lack of talking is set up from the first film.
That makes sense. I you know, definitely valid points.
But one thing that I did enjoy in the cinematography-wise of it was, I was trying to think of other places where I've seen this, and I couldn't remember any, but I enjoyed the moments of over-cranking the cameras where... like you could tell they sped up the footage.
Yeah,
and
in the beginning
it was punchy. Well, it was all throughout. They do it in some of the fights at the end Like they're up and then they punch in, and you can tell, and like they don't hide it in any way. They sped up the camera and they were helicoptering in or moving in. I thought that was quite engaging.
Yeah, the way I think it worked really well is the sound didn't speed up. The sound was
right.
You know,
yeah. It was just
the
video.
Yeah. Which, yeah, definitely, I noticed it right away in the beginning when he's running through the hallways. And, yeah, it gives it just this real, like, surreal, just insane. Yeah,
that scene was cool.
Yeah. Right. And also, on that note, I wish that someone, and I'm not the person to do this, I'm not claiming to be the person, I wish that someone would come up with a new way of dealing with flashbacks. Or, like, PTSD kind of stuff, you know, where he's having the flashes of his kids being killed, like, in moments. And, like, granted, I don't have PTSD. I don't know what it feels like. Maybe that is an accurate representation of what it feels like to be hit with PTSD. But I wish there was someone would come up with a new way of doing it. Like, that's not just, you know, oh, I'm out of the moment for a moment and I'm seeing flashes of my family or whatever. Or, you know, I'm seeing my daughter in the hallway or something. I want there to be a new way. A new way to engage that kind of
feeling. But you don't know what that new way is. You just want it.
No, okay. I just want it.
I guess the last thing I'll say is, you know, I think a lot of people like the over-the-top action and, like, the guitarist with the flamethrower and all that, which is just totally crazy and awesome. I think the reason why we would definitely see it differently from, like, a Transformers 4, which is also over-the-top action. Mm-hmm. And I think looking at those two side by side...
Much better.
Yeah, it's like, yes, there wasn't, like, a huge, great drama to it, but, you know, I don't think it pretended to be that. It was just fun action chase scenes, fucking flamethrower guitar solo.
I agree.
For that, I really liked it. So that is where we're gonna end this month's episode, and I will have one more, so be sure to check that next month. And thank you guys for joining me for this episode. Thank you, Sean, for producing.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's over there. And make sure to tune in to episode 30 next month. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks.